This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 256, where today we're going to talk to a bunch of Microsoft devs.
Hello!
Recorded live from the SharePoint Conference 2018.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focused on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out for free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/trynwc.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today?
Good.
Great.
Hey,
guys.
Great.
This is our biggest crowd that we've had at the podcast, so much so that we are limited on microphones. Woo-hoo. Microphone around just a little bit. But so today, it's the third day of the SharePoint conference. We've talked to a couple of people on the first 2 days. We talked to Omar and Dan Holm on the first day about some keynote-y kind of stuff. We talked to Adam Harmitz yesterday about some search investments that are going on. And today we want to talk to you guys and gals about some developer stuff. I know a lot of stuff's been going on in the dev space. Something that's near and dear to my heart. So why don't we first kind of walk through and let you guys have an opportunity to introduce yourselves and share like what you're working on, what you're speaking about this week.
Hi, so I'm Kathy Du, brand new to the team. I've been on the team about a week and 3 days now. So excited. So I am here at SharePoint Conference helping out the team, getting immersed in listening to people and also working in the diversity and inclusion track, representing women in SharePoint. But from the team perspective, I am focused on ISV success in the SharePoint developer space, which if you kind of translate that down, that can translate into what does the newest app store look like and how does that work in the future. So that's my focus.
Hi there, I'm Pat Miller. I'm an engineering lead, dev lead in SharePoint. I'm on the opposite spectrum. Today is my 17th anniversary in this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, with three or four of us. So yeah, we've done content management server, taxonomy, publishing, all that sort of stuff. Last few years, we switched over to the development track. Yeah, that's sort of what we've been doing here.
And so my name is Luca, and I've been in Microsoft a little bit longer. I've been in Microsoft for 8 years. The bet's hot for a little bit. My last gig in SharePoint is the SharePoint Development Framework. I am in the program management, and I am basically responsible of the SharePoint Development Framework area as part of how you extend the user experience in SharePoint with web parts, extensions, how do you connect with web APIs, how do you authenticate, and all these new things that we want to build in order to be able for ISVs as well as the first party to build new experiences on top of SharePoint and above and beyond that.
I'm Jeremy Kelly. I feel like the young guy, having only been with Microsoft 12 years, six of those in SharePoint, so that's great. I'm here representing kind of the files APIs for OneDrive along with Microsoft Graph for OneDrive and SharePoint. So really the server API side of things. I work with Luca.
And I'm Darren Spector. I lead the engineering team for the OneDrive and SharePoint dev platform. Been at Microsoft for 13 years, and most of that's been on OneDrive, SharePoint 2 for the last few.
Would you like to introduce yourself since you're not mic'd up on us or anything?
I'm good.
You're good, okay. So you're not doing anything.
I'm not recording.
Well, awesome. There's been a lot of great announcements. I know with Build being just a few weeks ago as well, a bunch of announcements came out of Build for you guys too. So what I wanted to ask, I guess, first was, you know, what are some of the announcements that you guys had this week that are out in the last few weeks, I guess, that around the dev platform that people would be interested to hear about? Things like, you know, we've talked about some dynamic data stuff that's coming, pending release of a new version of the SharePoint framework that's going to get released later on this month. Anything that you guys would like to highlight for us?
So clearly, SharePoint framework, just like you said, is releasing a new version very, very soon. The focus of this new version has been more primarily around beside all the bug fixing and all the improvement that you guys turn to GitHub as well as user voice are able to provide to us, and very well being able to help us focusing and shaping of what is needed from you in the communities and in the field. But the big thing is what has been the new dev preview of dynamic data, which is basically these new capabilities and technology to have components and parts in pages to be able to either produce events or consume data events that can dynamically respond on the way that basically this information is provided to the consumer in the project.
So that's going to be more kind of like when people used to look at web part connections or connected web parts and being able to share data between them. Now we kind of have that marshaling bit that SharePoint framework is going to be to be able to publish events to people who want to subscribe to them, be able to see other things that are on the page. But it's not just limited just to web parts. We can use it with extensions and anything else that's SharePoint frameworking on the page to be able to leverage.
You are 100% correct. And so the idea was basically from scenario standpoint to be able to recreate what was possible in the past, the full trust component and full trust deployment, to have components, and primarily was only web part, to communicate and exchange data in between them in the page. The two big things that we want to stress is one of the model around the SharePoint framework is that this is a technology that also our first party web parts of component is using to communicate and exchange data in between of them. And it's all client side now. So you don't have to do round trip in the server. It's all based on JavaScript framework.
That first party thing that you mentioned is a big deal. I mean, I talked about it a little bit in my workshop earlier this week. People were a little confused. They hadn't heard that term before. It's a first party and third party. And they're like, we're in Vegas. Is that like Monday and Wednesday nights? I'm not really sure which way that's going to go here. What happened to Tuesday? It's like, that's already taken care of.
More or less, yes.
No, the dynamic data thing is really cool to see. I know that's a big request that people have had. And there was a little bit of a preview of like web part connections back at the Build conference from last year. But that's a really welcome thing. You know, the other thing you touched on a little bit about first party stuff and third party and seeing like adoption. You know, I'm seeing finally starting to see a little bit of a trend at this conference where you don't see developers saying, you know, do you really buy into this? Is this really going to be something that's going to stick around? And we're not going to have another reset of another dev model in another year or so, because we're going on about 2 years or so now for GA. And so
GA was February. I think we had 1 year of GA in February, and then the preview. I think the first drop was
2 years.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here like two-ish years there. Anyway, people are asking, you know, we usually sit around 3 or 4 years. How do you think that we're going to do with this? It's like, well, when you look at the way that Microsoft is also using the SharePoint framework to do things like the new admin portal and to do things like the communication site and hub sites, and it really does. It drives a lot more confidence. So, you know, kudos to you guys. You're starting to see that people are finally starting to come around and believing the messaging that's been said by all of us in the last 2 years or so.
We were able to learn from our history for good reasons. The previous model that were more inclined to cloud development, sandbox solution as well as add-ins, were primarily designed for third parties. And because of the maturity level of the cloud at that point in time compared to the on-prem environment, it was really something that we wanted to be able to provide to our developer to be able to extend and customize solutions without the limits that the new platform was intrinsically provided to the platform itself. The new environment being the cloud compared to the on-prem.
Gotcha.
And because we learned from that, one of the main goals we had as part of the team was this has to be a framework that we will use, both first parties and third parties. And if we don't do that, we are missing a big learning experience that we had from the previous model. We got lucky, we got success, and I think that also reflects on the ability and the stability of the framework that also the third party can manage.
Gotcha, that sounds good. So what are the things would you guys like to share with our listeners, you know, this week of what like the big news, the big analysis that you guys have been going through?
I think the other thing that I think is great is, so we're trying to reduce the number of ways that people develop across Office 365, never mind just SharePoint. And so you sort of got that with the announcements around the Teams integration, where you can do enterprise developers can use the same skills that they have with a SharePoint framework to produce stuff for Teams. And then the more SaaS-based ISVs can use the skills that they've got producing for Teams and have those solutions show up in SharePoint. And so it's not like, well, there's a SaaS model for Teams and an enterprise developer Teams and one for SharePoint and another one for SharePoint and then for Office, another one for Office. We're trying to get them all much more rational and the single solution that you can deploy and it's available everywhere in the long run.
And we want to have that, at least this is the intent, and you can see that across multiple ways you interact with Office 365. From client side and UX experience, we have this ability of, we have this goal that we are surfacing more and more of, write once and use across Microsoft Teams and SharePoint. And you can imagine that we don't want to stop there. We want to be more across all the workload or the majority of workload in Office 365. server side, we're doing the same thing with Microsoft Graph. You don't have to develop a client against the Outlook REST endpoint or SharePoint REST endpoint. You go to one endpoint and you start getting data across your Microsoft ecosystem by simply reaching that.
And we've got some new preview APIs out on the server side. So Microsoft Graph, you can now get a preview URL for a file. So if you want to be able to embed the OneDrive or the Office Viewer, you can request a preview URL from the server, which is great. A lot of great scenarios there. In beta, some changes to come, but you can start trying it out now. We got file versions information is 1.0 supported, so you can get that directly from the Files API. Darren will keep me honest on other stuff. We added some more file format for conversions. So previously, you could only convert to PDF. We've now got in beta JPEG,
HTML, GLB, a 3D file format as destinations, and then hundreds of formats as sources. Yeah.
One element I actually included in my demo earlier in the week was the ability to create lists and libraries using Graph. Don't believe the first page of documentation that says you can't. Dig down into the page that says you can. We'll fix that when we get back to Redmond, but it's actually pretty cool. Really simple post to the REST API, and you get a library out of it just by saying you want a doclib. So it's a great feature to integrate.
Oh, and the ability to get a WebSocket channel URL so you can use Socket.io to listen for changes in a library.
So I want to come back to that one in just a second. Is that a question about that? But it's one thing you said about the whole, you know, the first link and the second link, don't worry about the first one. I mean, the openness that you guys have too, to being able to submit changes, to maybe manage the documentation and everything. It's one that's like, let's go push those guys, the people in the audience. Like, you guys, go submit a PR. It's really easy.
Yeah, the docs are all out in GitHub, so you can submit your own PRs. That's how we work with it, is just submitting the PRs, so.
And thank you. And please keep and doing that. This is the way you guys keep us honest.
One of the things that was really interesting taking over this kind of file space and working with Darren was a very strict adherence to, we write the documentation for the API first, then we write the API. So the intent is that the documentation, occasionally things happen, but the documentation should be the source of truth.
It's the spec.
Yeah. And so the devs write the initial documentation for the API, and then go build it. And it kind of keeps us honest in how we're developing it to make sure that it's actually consumable, and we iterate on those PRs before we even start writing the code for it.
That openness,
it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, and the openness is so different from how we've done in the past. I mean, Darren, you're relatively new on the SharePoint side, I guess, in my understanding is correct. What is that like for you to be able to see like the involvement from the community being able to push back? And it seems that from the inside, it seems like SharePoint's got one of the richest dev communities out there in terms of being the most vocal, the most type A people that are in there gonna tell you what we want. But I mean, what has that been like for you to experience that?
Oh, it's been amazing. Just feeling the energy around this whole ecosystem. Like, how many other products or services can have a conference in Vegas that has the world-renowned B-52's headline? You know, it's just amazing to see all the people here using our stuff and working with it and learning from all of them. As far as the documentation and stuff goes, we often get PRs for the documentation to make it better, and it's been a really valuable thing having that open there and having the iterative loop around fixing the docs, getting changes pushed in to be really reduced. That whole framework is something we're proud of.
Very cool. Kathy, I don't want to leave you all hanging here. I want to hear a little bit about what you're working on, because I know, you know, one of the challenges that we had, we've had it in the previous model when we did add-ins and we had an office store, but I know my colleague over here is definitely something that he'd be interested in hearing about this too, but you know, you're coming in with the interest of or the focus on working on like the ISV story around the SharePoint framework. And I mean, today, there's some work, you have some opportunity. I will say it like that. Right? So I'm curious what you're looking at, what you're going to be trying to do in that space, and when people can start to see some stuff coming from that. I mean, I know you've only been on the job for a week and a couple of days, but I mean, we're waiting.
Yeah, it's a really exciting role. It's a new role that we're kind of innovating and still defining to a certain extent, defining out what we're going to be doing. So for right now, it was really invaluable for me to be here this week and to be able to talk to people and for people to be able to put the face to the name, to the topic, right? So one of the things that I'm going to be focused on at the very first in the next few weeks is finding ways to get feedback feedback from people, and I'm definitely open to that. And I think a lot of people have already reached out and will continue to reach out, and we're looking for that feedback. One of the things coming into the role brand new is there've been some initial discussions around planning and things like that. And one of the things I want to do is take a look at it and take the history that I've experienced throughout the years, take the feedback that I'm getting from people, and really truly try to make sure that we're moving in the right direction and building something that's useful, not just for ISVs, but for our users and for our first party as well. And so we're looking at not just the kind of the store and how to be successful there, but how do we guide users through the experience of getting access to these items? So it's a little bit deeper than even just a store. Is what are some of those guided experiences to give users awareness of this? We don't want what we build to be hidden like it has been in the past, where you have to like really know where to go to find a store. We want to find a way to really integrate users into the experience and the people that aren't necessarily aware of it. So there's a lot of functionality that we need to build. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of feedback that we need to take in and a lot of kind of evaluation to start out with. Timing wise, I honestly don't know yet. And so that'll be something that you'll continue to hear from us as we start to do some of the research and do a little bit more of that. And I know I've already got some of that working. And so I've got some things to jump into when I get back on Friday and really start to jump into this. So I'm really excited to jump into it and to see what we can do. And the team, you know, has so much great feedback to give me already from what they've been thinking of and what they've been hearing from people as well.
It's just from an ISV's perspective, it's really encouraging, I guess, that there's somebody with focus on some of these things. And there's always been care about ISVs, but it's also nice to see more investment coming. So we're very happy about that. Let's put it that way.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
Okay, I have a quick question. I'm not sure who for, but the dev framework was quite a big component of what we saw in the keynote around Minecraft for Business. Spaces. Okay. So how much was this team involved and involved in getting SPFX playing a key role in Spaces, in the extensibility model, the new page kind of stuff that's coming along, putting things in the space, all that sort of stuff? Anybody want to tackle
that
question?
So there is two aspects that I think it's important to highlight, and then I'm sure that Pat or Darren can go a little bit deeper on the technology standpoint. To pause for a moment and understand the way Microsoft works, like any big organization from an organizational standpoint and reporting structure standpoint. My and Jeremy boss, which is Ed Everett, is both in charge of the SharePoint framework and the SharePoint spaces. So from PM standpoint, you have one person that is in charge of both spaces, which gives you the understanding from relationship standpoint how these two things are tied together. And then the other important thing that we need to remember here, and we as first, is that everything you have seen has been built on top of SPFX. So the framework in building these web parts, the framework in building all the application space, at least from the authoring standpoint, has been using by building on SPFX. And the technologies is all JavaScript based. So there is no server-side code that gets rendered magically and provides something over there. So this is basically in terms of understanding and commitment in terms of when we want to go through new channels in the way you consume and interact with the system and with the data, you are sure that the framework piece is always taken consideration. Same applies for Microsoft. Framework is there in order to be able to be sure that the experience of gathering data and interacting is exactly the same, or is taken in consideration from
framework. It was just really cool to see Ed be able to, for the first time, introduce himself as the group manager for DevPlat and Spaces together on stage, because it was really tightly under wraps. And so getting to see your boss actually get to say what he works on for the first time was pretty cool. So
that's good.
I was going to say, the it would be great for us to say, you know what, the success of Spaces or whatever is so dependent upon us, we did so much. That would be churlish.
Okay, thank you for saying that. Moving on.
So we talked with them, and a lot of it was, okay, here's the conceptual ideas that you're dealing with, and here's the primitives that exist in the system already, and the more we can align that stuff out here with what's physically here, it's going to make things a whole lot smoother. So, you know what, you've got these widgets that you're putting on a canvas and the user's interacting with them and the author's configuring them, and that sounds an awful lot like web parts on a page, and you've got these spaces with rooms, and is that like site collections and pages and library? And so I think just by leading them, helping them go down the path of here's how we can map things, then everything else sort of falls into place a lot easier, because it's easy to just say, oh, give me the page content, and you get your 3D content as opposed to your HTML content, but it's still the same backend services and the same framework that you're using.
So, Darren, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. This is the second time I've heard it mentioned, but I must be missing where the announcements are coming out, because I haven't heard it in the main stuff, but you talk about Socket.io.
It was not an hour session.
I wasn't in your session. They actually scheduled us against you guys.
Damn scheduled people.
Okay, good. Okay, my bad. So talk a little bit about what the importance is with that. I mean, Socket.io, I know for people who aren't familiar with it, it's from the Microsoft side, it's Signal IR, but it's the non-Microsoft socket-based thing. You talk a little bit more about, you say that's already in the platform now, so we can take advantage of it now. What can you have to say about that?
Yeah, so firstly, because of the whole first party equals third party thing, it's really important to us to be using the same stuff that we offer to our, to our customers to build on top of. If you looked at SharePoint last year, if a change happens, the page doesn't refresh. It's kind of static, it's kind of dead. And that's not kind of what you would expect from a modern web app. So we needed to go fix that. And we also wanted to balance the constraints of, what would it look like to expose this as a platform for third parties to build on top of. The reason we chose Socket.io for this is that there's already a vibrant ecosystem around that with client libraries and everything. So land on that for the server tech, the client side is way easier for everyone to adopt. So we spend a lot of time spinning up a microservice to, host the server side of Socket.io. It's powered by the same webhook system that we introduced before and integrated the client into our web apps, which now makes it available for everyone else to use. Hot off the presses is we exposed an API through Microsoft Graph to go and grab the endpoint that you need to plug into your client to go listen to the change feed.
Okay, yeah, I definitely missed your session. Sorry. That's what I was hoping to see. This is,
it was really hot, so yeah. Don't worry about it.
So it's with
Vegas, baby.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see that SharePoint framework is giving us a way to really just, and SharePoint as a whole is a way for us to facilitate delivering our customizations. But one of the themes that I've kind of gone with at this conference that is resonating, that it I don't know why it didn't hit me before, but there's SharePoint framework is more of a host for all of these other standards-based things that people are doing. You want to do something in React, you want something in Angular, you want to use Socket.io. It's just a host for these different things. I mean, before it was always, we were building true SharePoint isms and all this stuff. A web part was just a SharePoint thing. And now, if you decide to go with a web framework, a web part is just a host to a web application, just a small little web application. And it's the bridge between the property pane and persisting of properties. The same thing with extensions and stuff like that. It gives you the ability more to host that stuff. Socket.io is going more down that path as well. And I think that's one of the things that is really helping developers to be a little bit more comfortable with this. That it's when I say this, it sounds like it can really trivialize stuff. And I really don't mean it to sound like that. So the SharePoint framework is a lot more of a veneer or almost a host of things instead of being this gigantic kind of infrastructure. There's a lot of stuff that we need to make it work. The fact that you guys deal with System.js and you deal with a whole bunch of other, the page model and stuff like that, a lot of stuff that's being done by you guys. But the fact that it's really, we're just trying to get out of your way and give you a good way to package and deploy your client-side solutions, it feels like for the first time with this model, with a SharePoint dev model, the first time it really feels like it's a, this is the way that we should be doing stuff. It's not like the SharePoint way, but this is the way we should be doing stuff anyway.
We try very hard to do that. Yeah, I think you are spot on this. And we want.
I got to get you on the show more often or get you back home. I hear this is the second time you said I'm 100% right. I don't hear that when I go home.
And we want to go on that model above and beyond the technology for framework, the technology framework for rendering the solutions. So for example, these hosting capabilities that you're talking about also works in terms of storage and in terms of governance. You build your solution, you can store that in the SharePoint framework to the power of the document library and Office 365. Now you have your JavaScript-based solution available across over the world. We provide a storage and centralized governance model through the app catalog. So you can imagine a world where you are not even targeting a SharePoint business. You are targeting a Microsoft Teams business where there is no SharePoint involved. It's only Microsoft Teams. You're building your team tab, and yet that solution is now still powered by the SharePoint framework, but it doesn't even show up in SharePoint. It shows up as a new Teams application tab on the Microsoft Teams tab.
It's a really compelling thing to see, you know, with something as hot as Teams is right now and just exploding in its adoption everywhere, and as fast, which to me is also incredibly challenging, as they're innovating and they're revving their product and different things that they're doing and changing the way you do stuff, to see that you have this extensibility model that's hosted inside of SharePoint or that lives or that's exposed from SharePoint. I mean, it's a great experience giving people I like the way it was described, I think, during the keynote, where you have a couple different options on how you can get stuff. You may be this digital transformation type business that wants to use Teams. People want to work differently. But then you may be more traditional side business where, no, the website works perfectly. It's just right for us. This is exactly what we need. It's nice to have that option, but have the same customization living in both places.
And this is a generational thing, right? We have now in situation, and we have heard that through the years, especially very recently, where we have three different generations working at the same company on the same things today. So Outlook, SharePoint, Teams are channels that you use in order to surface your information. So the idea is, for first party and third parties, aren't you able to build a solution that you want to surface and have that solution be consumed from different cockpit? Mm-hmm. SharePoint page, Teams tab, Outlook, or whatever will be in the future, being that channel that you want to use to consume that information.
And we can take that approach on both the framework side for our kind of packaging and deployment, along with the API side as we've moved into Graph. You know, we don't want you to have to pick between doing an Exchange integration or a SharePoint integration. We want you to be able to hit the endpoint that you need with the same semantics and the same calling structures, get the same data types back, and be able to work with it in a way that makes it a lot easier than it was in the past, where we would have each had a framework, we would have each had a way to do it.
It's really going along a lot of the same model that we've seen, like, you know, outside the SharePoint dev space, where you've seen people, you see like tools like Electron, they become really popular. It's like, I don't care where you're working. I don't care if you're Mac, I don't care if you're Windows, I don't care if you're Linux. We're going to build something and it works on all. Or the same thing like on the node side. I don't care if you're going to run it on Windows or Linux. It's still, or Raspberry Pi. It's still going to work. It's designed to run cross-platform.
Yeah, I mean, my demo earlier this week, I had part of it was SharePoint framework, part of it was a Windows app on Raspberry Pi, and it was same semantics for the calls, same data coming back. So it worked great.
And what was cool about your demo was that there wasn't like lots of code. It was like lots of like glue code all.
Yeah, most of the code is rendering the data that comes back as opposed to actually making the call. You get one call to get your auth set up, and you get another call to make the data request, and then everything after that is just working with your UX.
Great. Yeah, it makes things a lot easier. So I want to kind of come to a little bit of a close, but I have a question for each one of you, and I know this is a bit of a loaded question. I meant to give you a heads up on it, but I didn't. So heads up. It's a bit of a loaded question. We have our cheerleader here now too. So it's a bit of a loaded question, and I know that you can only answer some things in certain ways and everything. But where would you like to see like the SharePoint framework and the dev experience? Where would you like to see that go? So releasing or making any announcements, if you want to make an announcement on our show, I'm more than happy to do it. But what's your like? As a feel or as a precept or as a, you know, we're trying to get to a point of, you know, something like this. This is where we're trying to work on in the next time frame, whatever you want to come up with.
Know what you're working on.
Yeah, I think I kind of went over what I'm working on. So for me, I really want to make it accessible to lots of different locations. So not just focusing on the SharePoint space, but on the Office 365 space. So how does the ISV and the store become successful, not just for SharePoint, but across everything? And so for me, that's my kind of where I'm looking ahead and what I'm wanting it to do.
So I get graded strictly on how many people use it?
No.
But we do actually, you know, every day, hey, what's the daily usage, what's the whatever. And so if you think about that as a goal, then it lays out a few things. It's like, okay, how do we make it easier for developers to get started and to produce solutions and get them to the system? How do we make it easier for admins to approve and deploy those things? And how do we make it easier for end users to interact with them and put them on a page? And then maybe the fourth one, how do we make it easier for that to appear across all the different workloads? And so by focusing on the, hey, how many people can we get running this stuff? And then you sort of like, oh, we can get, make it, you know, ISVs get on board and make it easier for end users to use it. And it's easier to move them and it's faster. So people are more happy about it. It's sort of all sort of a virtuous cycle. Yes.
So my personal motto and personal theme has been for the entire year and will be also for the next year. Write once, deploy and manage in a single place, use everywhere across Office 365.
I think given the role I have as kind of the API guy, I want to get to a point where SharePoint developers can really call themselves and feel like Office 365 developers. Like if you get asked to do a mailbox integration, you should be able to say, yeah, I know how to do that. Like it shouldn't require learning a new set of tools. It should just work. And I think we're getting pretty close to that. And I don't necessarily interact every day with everybody in the community, but I think that's one thing that I think I want to see us move towards is being able to have that. If I'm a SharePoint developer, then I can master any of the Office 365 workloads that I might be asked to go out and get.
Yeah, just to echo these sentiments, I want a consistent model for every developer on across all of Microsoft stuff to build their extensions and build their apps in a consistent way across the board, proving the benefits that everyone builds into their stuff. You can see this with like Office UI Fabric, which already has like tremendous adoption across the company. And outside, you can see this with Graph, where we're all just starting to march in the same direction in all of these ways. And I'm just really excited for more and more of that stuff to happen.
So hearing all of your responses, it sounds like we may be looking down the road and may start to see where a SharePoint framework extension doesn't really make sense to call it like that. It's more of an Office 365 extension is what it sounds like.
Oh, you applied for that marketing opening job we have.
I see.
We can dream. We can dream. I mean, I think all of us think we have a great model and we'd certainly like to see it grow beyond a niche. You know, and not that SharePoint is a niche, but you know, it's
a
thing. You know, the more that developers out there make it successful, the easier it is for us to say, no, look, we've got something here that is good for everyone. Let's spread it out around beyond just our little area.
So I guess my final question, I've been very wordy this podcast, so my final question is, have you had a good chance to walk around everything out here and flip your badge around so nobody can see it and wander up to them and say, so what's your SPFX story and do you use the Graph? Have you had a chance to go and find out who's doing what and see which ISVs and which vendors and things are using the stuff you work on every day and sort of go undercover boss almost, right? And go talk to them about what they're doing and seeing if it's working out.
Kind of. My experience was slightly different. It was equally, if even more amazed. Going around with the badge flipped, I didn't even have to ask. SPFX was in the screen. It was just like, that's what we are using. This is the solution. So it has been already been adopted by communities and by all of you guys. And this is very amazing. It basically help us and reinforce us on being super committed on the success of the development framework experience in SharePoint and across Office 365 workloads.
I spent a good 7 hours at the booth yesterday. So I've talked to a lot of people, but not so much undercover. And it's the vibe is good. So I think it's positive.
It's cool to see the adoption numbers. You can definitely see, well, not say, like I've seen it, that's not what I meant. It's cool to see the adoption, how fast it's ramping up. You can see it from the community questions, the involvement on GitHub. You can see it from the conferences and everything. It definitely feels like it's being a heck of a lot more adopted and embraced than the add-in model that we had, you know, years ago, right? It just feels like you guys are doing a really good job.
And PNP is another factor that can highlight how much that is adopted. If you think, and you have been primarily then directly involved, so you guys, you are actually the one that teach us. If you see the amount of solutions and the amount of and the amount of engagement in PNP that happened across SPFX, you can tell us how much also from the PNP aspect and angle how much SPFx has been used and has been required.
Yeah, and the transparency too, just between from your team, from you guys, getting the feedback and everything has been, it's been really cool. I mean, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of you for many, many years, and it's just, we've all been going through this journey, and it's been interesting to watch how the messaging from both sides has really evolved over time and stuff. So it's been a lot of fun. Well, congratulations on how far everybody's come.
Thank
so
you
far.
Very Thanks. Much.
And on your first week in 3 days. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.